Why do Islamic terrorists want to destroy Israel?
What did Israel do to provoke Hamas jihadists to invade Israel?
This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education. Hamas chose the Israeli holiday of Sukkot, the joyful festival of fall harvest, to attack and invade Israel. It was also Islam's holy month of Ramadan.
Hamas fired more than 5,000 rockets into Israel and invaded Israel, slaughtering hundreds of civilians in savage acts on innocent civilians and also taking many Israelis hostage.
But how did it happen?
Hamas fighters came right down this street. They were in pickup trucks and had machine guns mounted to the backs of the pickup trucks, and they were firing anyone that they could kill. The militants managed to take over that police station. The Israelis collapsed it with a bomb, brought the building on top of them, and now they are waiting to clear out what they assume are about 10 bodies of the Hamas fighters. They also say are booby-trapped, so they are going very, very slowly.
The attacks were a total surprise to the Israeli intelligence agency Mossad. It was like the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, a totally unexpected attack.
Fighters from Hamas and Islamic Jihad swept into Israeli towns, kidnapping whole families and marching them barefoot through their own neighborhoods. This woman screaming for help as she's dragged away into Gaza, her boyfriend hands behind his back, helpless to save her.
What a nightmare to see loved ones carried away by savage jihadists yelling, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar!
These Muslim jihadists weren't like normal soldiers, but more like savage wild beasts who murdered mothers, children, teenagers, and grandmothers in front of family members and friends.
Early morning, barbaric Hamas terrorists attacked dozens of Israeli villages and towns and killed mothers and kids and grandmothers, taken dozens of them hostages. And Israel needs to demonstrate that those who kill innocent civilians unprovoked are going to pay a dear price for that. This is the Israeli equivalent of 9/11.
A reminder that this horrendous, brutal attack was like 9/11, where Muslim terrorists hijacked commercial airlines and flew them into the World Trade Center towers and shocked and devastated our nation.
And this is again by Muslims committed to jihad in the name of Allah.
48 hours into this shock attack that has shaken life as we know it. 1,000 Hamas terrorists descended on Israel by gliders and through breaches in the security fence to unleash untold horrors on innocent families as they were at home on a Saturday morning. This is the darkest day for Jewish people in decades. It's being called Israel's September 11. This is a terrorist assault so incomprehensible with deep sadness at the depravity and the inhumanity. It is pure savagery. 160 Israeli citizens are being held hostage in Gaza. They're in cages, in prisons, in unimaginable conditions imposed on them by barbarians who have no limits to their brutality. There was no mercy shown as the elderly, the women, the children, the babies were kidnapped, seized, and carted off by jeering men away from the safety of their homes, their loved ones, and their life as they knew it. We don't know whether they will ever return home, whether Israeli forces will ever be able to find them and bring them back alive. But it's the heinous barbarity that makes this attack by Hamas so sickening and so unexpected for the state of Israel, surrounded by Arab states endlessly calling for its annihilation.
As this tearful Australian newscaster tells us, the hostages were in cages being tortured for just being Jewish. Untold horrors have been unleashed on innocent families. It's just shocking.
It's heartbreaking, and it's shocking to realize that the inhumanity of depraved man go to such a degenerate evil against humans, fellow human beings, even babies, by kidnapping and then carting them away from their homes and being jeered on by Muslim men.
As she said, this was a barbaric attack, and it's sickening. We're talking about real people in their beds or at a celebration, a party, brutally killed. What if this was you and your family being carried away by killers?
While much of the focus has been on the big picture, I want to talk about the actual people being tortured and brutalized. These are real people, not missiles and iron domes. These are scenes of inhumanity, not seen since the rise of ISIS and the brutal terrorist beheadings designed to terrify the civilized world. Here we have a beautiful teenage girl captured and dragged through the streets by thugs. Look at the way they drag her out of the boot, her hands tied, tugging her by her beautiful long hair. As they shove her back in their vehicle, you shudder as you imagine what they've done to her, how they're likely abusing and probably debasing her. And as they distressingly terrorize this innocent girl, whose family would never have been through a more traumatic time, listen to how these animals laugh and cheer.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
How can humans be this cruel? To laugh and celebrate as they torture terrified young souls. And then there's this mother who rang her husband Yoni to tell him there were terrorists inside the house. The next he heard of her and their two children was when he saw them on the back of a pickup truck with other hostages in a social media video.
The last 24 hours were very difficult. I tried to stay strong. It's not simple to know that your two babies and your wife, entire family, the most precious thing you have, is captive.
Then there's Noah Ajemani, forced onto the back of a motorbike while her boyfriend was held at gunpoint. The 25-year-old student screams, "Don't kill me, don't kill me."
Imagine if it was your wife or daughter or child just dragged away by her hair to never be seen again, to be brutally raped and tortured.
These Muslim terrorists aren't just human animals. Animals don't kill for sport or to humiliate or torture other people. These are not animals, but lower than animals, descending into the realm of the hellish evil, killing to appease their satanic god, Allah.
Terrorists opened fire at a dance party near the Israel-Gaza border. Hamas gunned down 260 young happy revelers. 260 dead, just like that. This would be a major terror attack on its own, but it's only part of the atrocity. Bloodshed, young bodies strewn everywhere. German Israeli woman Shani Luke among them. She was killed, and then the terrorists paraded her body through the streets like a prized trophy. The horror of what we are seeing is overwhelming. And then there's the videos that are too graphic to broadcast that show Israelis being dragged onto the streets as Hamas terrorists cheer and laugh and kick their lifeless bodies. It is beyond despicable. It is sickening. And then there's the families slaughtered in their homes, on the streets, waiting at bus stops. And then there are the babies and young children being dragged off, kidnapped, held hostage. And this is perhaps the most horrifying, because how can anyone, no matter how cruel, in their heart think that it's acceptable to treat babies and children like this? How can so many people be this evil?
Israeli soldiers have found babies with their heads cut off. Hamas beheaded babies in accordance with the Islamic Quran 47 verse 4. When you encounter unbelievers, strike at their necks. What kind of monster could cut the heads off of a live baby?
This treatment of Jewish children, women, families is the face of evil. This is it.
How can anyone think parading a dead woman's body through the streets is a trophy? Or kidnapping the babies, Jewish babies? How can they think of themselves as even being civilized?
This is the face of evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And this brings memories of the Holocaust to mind.
How does the world respond to this degenerate evil? We never thought we'd once again see this cruel treatment of Jews. And yet we are seeing civilians, not soldiers, dragged from their homes to their deaths. How does the world take a stand to show that we do not accept this? We will not stand by while the innocent are slaughtered. Other than condemnation, should the world isolate Iran and hold it responsible, given that it has long funded Hamas? The Ayatollahs have been smuggling arms and money to Hamas since the terrorists seized control of Gaza in 2007.
What role does Iran have to play in this Holocaust? Iran has been smuggling arms, rockets, and missiles to Hamas since Hamas seized control of Gaza since 2007.
An Israeli officer says this won't be just another attack by Israel bombing Hamas. No, this is going to be over the line and guaranteed for the destruction of Hamas.
This shall not be yet another round where Hamas fires rockets indiscriminately at Israel. We retaliate with the Air Force, and it ends with some half-cooked ceasefire. Hamas has underwritten its own destruction. The fact that they crossed and murdered, executed so many Israeli civilians and had the audacity to take so many Israelis hostage and bring them to Gaza, joyfully parading them on the streets of Gaza to be bullied, attacked, and hit. That and many more things has really signed the situation and to annihilate all of Hamas's military capabilities.
Gaza would be turned into an island of ruins. Was Iran involved in this attack? Hamas spokesmen say they did get help from Tehran. Iran and Hamas have a long history of cooperation. Their support, their weapons, all of it comes from Iran.
Hamas spokesman says all their weapons came from Iran. Former President Donald Trump says the massacre of these innocent civilians in Israel happened because America gave Iran $6 billion and the weak and incompetent leadership of Joe Biden.
The terror invasion of Israeli territory and the murder of Israeli soldiers and citizens is an act of savagery that must be and will be crushed and avenged, has to be crushed. This war happened for two reasons. The United States giving Iran $6 billion. $6 billion. Our country's perceived weakness and an incompetent and corrupt leader, Joe Biden, who's left out all over the world. He's left out all over the world. The guy doesn't have a clue. I predicted war in Israel immediately after it was announced that Joe Biden gave the $6 billion to Iran. They got so much money. At this time, Israel and the United States need a very strong, they got to have strong leaders. You don't have strong leaders, it doesn't matter how many army tanks you have.
If we don't have a strong commander-in-chief, it does not matter how powerful the military is.
In addition to the billions of dollars given to Hamas, top funder Iran, Joe Biden restored hundreds of millions of dollars to the very corrupt Palestinian entities. He gave them hundreds of millions of dollars. Many people didn't even know it.
As Donald Trump said, Biden restored hundreds of millions of dollars to the corrupt Palestinians, betraying Israel and America, funding this brutal war.
And remember, President Obama flew billions of dollars in cash to Iran to help our enemy.
Joe Biden betrayed Israel. He betrayed our country. As president, I will once again stand with Israel, and we will cut off the money to Palestinian terrorists on day one. We'll cut it off on day one. Bibi Netanyahu came here, begged Obama, don't do the Iran nuclear deal. We would have had a deal with Iran already. It would have been a good deal. They wouldn't have had a nuclear weapon. Now they're 3 months away from having a nuclear weapon. And once they have a nuclear weapon, the conversations become much more difficult. This guy, this sad sack of a president that we have, will lead us into World War III. And I hope that's a prediction that I'm wrong on. But we've never been closer. We've never been closer than we are right now. He says the wrong thing at the wrong time. If he says anything at all, he's not respected at all. You are closer to World War III. And I can say this, if I'm elected, I'm the only one that can say it. You will never have World War III. You will not have World War III. Less than 4 years ago, we had the historic Abraham Accords, which everyone said, when will you get your Nobel Peace Prize? They gave one to Obama when he got elected. He didn't do too much after that either. We did the historic Abraham Accords, and today we have the exact opposite, a major attack on Israel. What a difference a president makes, right? What a difference a president makes.
What a difference an election makes. What a difference a strong president makes. There's peace through strength. Now, with a weak and vacillating, incompetent president, we're seeing evil in Israel. Our guest is Bible prophecy expert Amir Sarfati. He's a former major in the Israeli Defense Forces. He was born in Israel. He's the author of many books, including The Last Hour.
Amir Sarfati, what are your thoughts on the Muslim slaughter and kidnapping of Jews in Israel?
This is pure anti-Semitism, bloodthirsty, anti-Semitic monster. kill as many as they can, but they did not take in consideration nothing is going to be left from Gaza and nothing will be left from Hamas. Hamas is used to violence and ceasefire, and they survive and they rebuild and rearm themselves. Finally, everyone in Israel understands Hamas cannot stay there. Not a rocket, not a gun, not a bomb, nothing. They must be completely annihilated. First time Israelis disarm Hamas. We haven't done that before. They are armed to their teeth and they are getting their stuff from Iran and trained by Russia. A lot of their capabilities is stuff that we see in the Ukraine war done by Russia. This is the first time since 1973 that we declare war, not operation, it's a war. War has different rules.
Is this the Ezekiel war?
I don't believe we're in the Ezekiel war, but I do believe that we are on this highway towards that war. Remember, in the Ezekiel war, no one comes to help Israel. Right now, America is helping Israel. America sent the USS Gerald Ford.
We know in the Ezekiel war that Russia comes to attack Israel. And now with Syria launching missiles into Israel, there are signs of what could be the Ezekiel war that will look like this. And that's when God destroys Israel's enemies.
Although the Ezekiel war means nations, not just the terrorists. Amir Sarfati said, "We are on a clear path to a confrontation with Russia in the Ezekiel war."
There is credible information that Russia is letting Iran, giving the green light to all of its proxies to go on the offense and attack Israel simultaneously. We know they were very encouraged by the terrible performance of the Israeli military in the first 3 hours. We were caught off guard. We did not even know the type of communication system that they're using. We did not know that they have those bomb-dropping drones. We never seen them before. Damaging the radar of the Iron Dome is also something that is only a state performance and not something of a small Muslim terrorist organization. So there's no doubt that Russia has trained them. They're not from Mozambique. They are Russians and they trained them. We are on a clear path towards a direct confrontation with Russia eventually. Russia and Iran. It is obvious that Iran was enabling all of that. Without the blessing of Russia, I'm not sure it could have happened as well. They made it so secret that they didn't even let their buddies in the Islamic Jihad know about it. The only time the Islamic Jihad knew about the attack is when the attack began. And then the phone rang and they said, send your people into Israel and kidnap as many as you can, like mad dogs. This is our biggest downfall. As a country that has one of the strongest militaries in the world, we were caught sleeping.
Just as Israel was caught off guard, totally surprised. So we here in America have thousands of terrorists that have come through the Biden wide open border. So we've become very vulnerable to the same type of terrorism here in America.
Many Americans forget that Israel gave up Gaza in exchange for peace. In fact, Israel dismantled 21 Jewish settlements out of good faith for peace. But what did they get? Instead, they got war. They gave up territory that is now being used to fire rockets into Israel's civilian areas.
Our guest is David Rubin, the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, and the author of Confronting Radicals: What Americans Can Learn from Israel. David, first of all, let's begin with this story about how your son and you were shot by terrorists.
I was with my 3-year-old son. We were coming back from Jerusalem. He was sitting in the baby seat. I was driving from Jerusalem to Shiloh, where we live. Halfway home, there was a massive hail of bullets on the car. The car went completely dead when the bullets hit, and I was coasting down the road trying to start the car. The car wasn't starting. I couldn't get anywhere. The terrorists are still shooting. Turned around to my 3-year-old son to see if he was okay. His eyes were staring straight ahead, wide open. His mouth was wide open. He looked like he was trying to scream or to cry, but no sounds were coming out. I had already gotten shot in the leg, and blood was pouring out of my leg, and the terrorists are still shooting. I didn't see any blood on my son. I needed to just get away from the terrorists because I was losing blood at a rapid pace. So I tried to start the car. The car wasn't starting, and I shifted gears. I turned the ignition, everything that I could to get the car to start. It wasn't starting. I didn't know what I was going to do at that point. And then suddenly the car started. It started as if it had never had a problem starting before. I hit the gas pedal, and I drove 110 miles an hour to get up the road to the next community where I hoped I could get an ambulance. all of the Jewish communities have metal gates in the front to keep out car bombers, and there's usually a guard operating the gate to see who's allowed in and who's not. I pull close to the gate. I start screaming at the guard to get an ambulance, and he didn't seem to hear me for some reason. And there was a young woman on the side of the road. She started jumping up and down, screaming, "Ambulance, ambulance, don't you hear?" At that point, everyone who was within sound's reach came running up to the car. A gas station attendant from across the street ran up to the car. He opened my door. He ripped off my shirt. He wrapped up my leg to stop the blood flow. He said, "Don't worry, I'm also a paramedic. I know what I'm doing." Two paramedics leaped out of the ambulance. They ran towards the car. One of them pulls out my son from the car, and he shouts out to the other paramedic. He's also been shot. He's been shot in the head. Bullet had gone into his head, through his neck, caused a skull fracture, internal bleeding in the cerebellum. I was just full of gratitude to the Almighty God that he saved our lives, that we both survived and had a full recovery, at least physically.
Why are these Muslim terrorists trying to kill Jews?
If you read the Quran, you see that there is great anger in the founder of Islam, Muhammad, towards Jews and towards Christians. But he has a particular venom for Jews. That accounts for a lot of the deep hatred many Muslims have towards the Jewish people.
Okay, you know, but you know what I thought was very good that you explained it in your book, how the Romans actually came up with the Palestinian quote-unquote state, which you say is the biggest hoax of all ages, because there is no Palestinian state.
The Romans invented the word Palestine, or more accurately, Palestina. When the Roman conquerors came and destroyed the Holy Temple in Jerusalem and exiled the Jews from the land, and that was almost 2,000 years ago, they changed the name of the country to Palestina, giving it a Roman derivative of the word Philistines. The Philistines were the archenemies of Israel.
All right. Now, I'm wondering, why do American Jews continue supporting Democrats when the Democrat Party seems to be anti-Jewish, anti-Israel? I mean, 120 of the Democrat congresswomen, they seem to be going against Israel.
The Jewish people in the United States, they lost connection with their roots. What came in to fill the vacuum, in most cases, was liberalism, sort of a secular liberal ideology that took over in the majority of the American Jewish community.
Franklin Graham said, "Islam is evil and wicked and can't be practiced in America. You can't beat your wife or murder your children, this honor killing."
Franklin Graham was blasted for those comments, but they were correct. Most people don't hear what the Muslims say in private. They say things that they don't say in the public eye. Why is it that the left and radical Islam seem to work together? Interestingly, both of them were epitomized in former President Barack Obama. Yeah. Look at his background and look at his affinities. He was very connected to the far left, that his father was a Muslim. He was totally devoted to his late father. His stepfather was a Muslim as well. Obama himself was a practicing Muslim as a child. His mother was a secular communist. But unfortunately, a lot of secular Jews are so disconnected from their roots, to the extent that something like Israel is just not that important to them.
What happened to Iran? Because up until the Shah was disposed, 1979?
Yes.
It was a different country then. It seemed more westernized. And then it has gone downhill since the Ayatollah Khomeini came in. They're also an arch enemy of Israel.
Sure. The Iranian people are good people that have been led in the wrong direction. After the Shah of Iran was overthrown and the Ayatollah Khomeini came in and pledged to export the Islamic revolution around the world, they have been supporting all of the Islamic terrorist organizations substantially, the Hezbollah, the Hamas, putting billions of dollars into their quest for a nuclear bomb. By the way, the Obama administration gave some of those billions in cash.
They're crazy enough to use it because they said they don't care if Iran gets annihilated as long as they can wipe Israel off the map.
And then also what's prophesied is the Messiah returning to Israel and to Jerusalem and ruling and reigning. That's beautiful.
Right. We Jews and Christians have a slightly different perspective on that. We also believe in a Messiah coming and leading Israel. Christians believe there is a Messiah who's coming back. So take off the word back. Right. We're in agreement.
We believe, as you know, God came as Jesus and walked among us. So you know
I understand
that.
It totally.
Okay,
we love
you.
Blessings to you.
No other nation in history has been resurrected back to their land as Israel has been. This fulfillment of biblical prophecy was what persuaded our guest David Rubin to leave his atheism and become an Orthodox Jew.
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1856, Evil Attack on Israel. That's number 1856, Evil Attack on Israel. You can order a CD copy of this program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Please give us a call at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. You who profess the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give him no rest from your prayers until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her a praise on the earth. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.